ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, that's what I got for you this morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. This is a very exciting time, and sure it is a very great time for others as well. I mean, this is Christmas Day. That's pretty awesome. I've never actually done a Christmas show. And to be on air on Christmas Day, I count it to be a blessing. You know, I count it to be a blessing anyway, just to be alive and to be well. And I know the old folks used to say, and have movement in my body, or I would say, what, activity in my limbs and thoughts in my mind. And, oh, yeah, I mean, I used to laugh as a kid hearing those things. But when you get some life behind you, when you just keep on living, as, you know, the old folks used to say, you start to hear and remember those old sayings that they used to say, and you go, yeah, they mean something to me now because I get it. Now, I'm not as old as some who used to tout and spout those fancy sayings, but either way, I get it. So anyone that's had an impact in my life who are significantly older than me, I thank you for those sayings. I know some of us don't like to hear the fact that we turn into our parents. I used to laugh and say, oh, no, I'll never turn to my parents. No way. Oh, no, I'll be a much better person, much different person. But, you know, we are a product of our products. We're a product of who we are a product from. You can easily say we're a product of the manufacturer. Now, when you really think about it, our God is our manufacturer, chief owner, operator, but we all don't pay attention sometimes to what he's saying, and so we quickly run to those things that our parents teach us. And, you know, we got to be really good parents, and that's another reason why we're doing this show, why we do the Raising Men show, is to become better parents, help men like me become better. Always want to be better. That's the goal, right? I want to actually start today's show a little different. This show initially airs on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia. Haven't done this since I've been back on air, but I want to say special shout out, special thanks to the WKBY family. They do a lot in prep behind the scenes. So as you guys are listening to WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia, and all the fantastic programs they'll be on, from singing and great preaching, great teaching, there's a lot of folks that are doing a lot of great things to get those programs on the air. It just doesn't happen overnight. I know I have to set my program over on a file that they've got to download over the internet and set and play. It's not a large staff over there. It's a great staff of people, family members, great, let's just say, I call them extended family for me. I want to make sure first when I say thank you to people at Merry Christmas is to, I want to say you Merry Christmas and thank you to Bishop Campbell. I remember a few years ago, he was gracious enough to allow our film Restored Me to be aired in the church as we were screening it before it was even released. He treated myself and Shelty, one of the writers, with such great care, respect, and love, opened the doors of the church to us and allowed us to have that gathering, that screening opportunity, and to be a part of the church for the weekend. I'll never forget that day that he allowed us to. He even called us up on platform, prayed for us, anointed us, and set us out for missions. I remember that very distinctly as I'm just recall, Lord, just bringing back that memory. It wasn't on plan for him to do that, for Bishop Campbell to do that. I remember the few moments before service. You know, we were invited to come to his office for a few moments to say good morning, make sure we knew what the plan he had for Michelle and I to do during the service, and so we wouldn't be caught off guard. And, you know, we were going to be given a few moments to speak, but at a different point. So, because for those who don't know, Bible Way has an online a church service that's on the radio, and then though it's live and it's being aired, that service is prior to their normal service. So you always, you know, can come and be a part of the airing, the broadcast service, but there's a different group that comes to the regular service. So it was interesting to be a part of the broadcast audience as versus the live audience, and we weren't planning to say anything much during the live audience. So I remember we were waiting our turn just to go on stage and, you know, wave, acknowledge, and maybe get a thank you, and then go back and sit down. But I remember Pastor Laird began to get our attention. We were sitting on the front row, and he's waving and pointing and, you know, mentioning for us to come up, waving for us to come up on stage. And I was like, whoa, what are we doing? And he has come up on stage, and he brought two chairs over. He called for some anointing oil and he began to anoint myself and Michelle. He began to pray and ask God's blessing upon us. And that has set some things in motion that I don't believe I've actually even seen to full fruition or even really understand, but wanted to make sure I said thank you to them, to Pastor, to Bishop. Pastor Larry, I want to make sure you know that I thank you for the effort and time, the trust. It's easy to say, well, you're on the air, you're paying for it every month. Well, that's fine, but that's different. He still didn't have to extend the invitation and make the opportunity there. You know, I don't want to ever let a moment go, especially when this time of the year, this is Christmas time. You know, I send my shows across and Anita picks them up and sets them most of the time. I speak to Anisi quite often too, online or on text from the station. Got a great bunch of people at WKBY. I encourage you to advertise, listen, share, call in, put your shoulder to the plow. And again, if you're listening to the program and you don't pick it up off of WKBY, because one of the things I think is interesting is when I hear someone there listening to my playback and I'll get some feedback and say, hey, you know, I want to be able to hear you on the radio. Where can I tune in? I'm like, sorry, you can't listen to this program on air outside of Chatham, Virginia. You have to listen online or off of our archives. So to the front of this program, the thank yous may not make a whole lot of sense, but for those who are listening to the online playback, these are the people who I'm thinking who are part of the airing, the broadcast, the traditional terrestrial radio side. It's also the group that gave me my first start on air. It's only going to be the first for you for anything one time. I've known a lot of people to get sick and die. I know a lot of people who were not available. There were a lot of people who didn't make it to Christmas Day. So I wanted to take this first few minutes and just say thank you. Let's talk about Christmas. Today is Christmas Day. And I know by the time this is airing for some of you, we've probably already opened the gifts that you were going to open. Or in some cases, you're going to make plans to go see other family members or friends, or you may get a gift or two, or you may give a gift or two. So you may not have opened all of your gifts, but when you really think about it, what did you really want? What did you ask for? What do you want for Christmas? When I was a kid, I remember, you know, I could make a list probably as big as a phone book. And I know some of you are going to go, wait a minute, phone book? What's a phone book? Well, back in the day when we were much younger, okay, so I'm 49, so back when I was probably, you know, under 12, under 14, they used to publish this book that had phone numbers and addresses, if they were available, for people's homes, for the home phone in people's homes. I know those who are younger out there listening, what do you need to talk about a home phone? You have a phone in your house that's actually a cord attached to the wall? Yeah, they really have such a thing. And not back in the day, everyone didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have a phone in our pocket. In fact, I didn't get my first phone. I don't think I was over 20 years old. Especially when you start paying for it yourself and trying to figure out all that out. Pagers back in the day were popular, but I think you only have pagers now if you're a doctor in a hospital for special applications or some emergency response people. But as a kid, I also remember looking at catalogs. They don't have much catalogs anymore, but I remember Sears catalog used to come quite often. And back in the day, too, Toys R Us used to have a catalog. Even used to have their advertisements on Sunday, you know, on the Sunday paper. I used to lay on the floor. I remember looking through the catalogs and the Sunday circulars or advertisements for Kmart, Target, Toys R Us. I used to have a notepad next to me. I used to write out all the things that I would want, race car sets and Hot Wheels or, you know, different types of action figures that I could, you know, put on this list. It was pages and pages and pages long. Now, I knew my parents weren't going to buy anything, probably most of that stuff. My dad was, well, how do you say, he was from Mississippi. So, and again, this is not an indictment on anybody from Mississippi, so we're not going to put that out there. So those people from Mississippi are in Mississippi listening to the broadcast or listening to the playback or whatever, if you're from the city hometown. It's not saying that any of you all are cheap out there, but I tell you, my dad, being from Meridian, Mississippi, he'll tell you, or he would have told you several times he had nothing, came from nothing, but he wasn't a nothing. He was good for something. Good for a lot of things, matter of fact. He passed away January 9th of this year. He's a great man. But that boy was cheap. I ain't even lying to you. That boy was cheap. In fact, I think some of the running jokes between my siblings and I was that he probably has the first penny he ever made or found. He probably still had it somewhere in the collection of stuff, in some pocket of some pants or some drawer, somewhere in the house, some bag, somewhere squirreled away. He probably still has that first penny, dollar, $5 bill, $10 bill, you name it. He probably still had it. It was probably something like that in some of those boxes that we squared away, gave away, or tossed away, sold or whatever, as we were getting rid of his stuff after he passed away. And I laugh, and I say this with all a smile on my face and all sincerity, but that guy wasn't going to buy you what you asked for. He's going to find some replica of that thing. He used to say some cheap facsimile. And as kids, I remember if I asked for a race car track of a certain type, a certain name, specified a model number and everything, that would be the closest thing that he found that he wanted to pay for under the tree. Now, my list, probably, let's just say if I had a list like 40, 50 items, 20, 30 items, I may have gotten two or three. That's fine. I mean, as a kid, my siblings probably say, oh, I probably got 15, 20 off that list. Well, that's cool, because that's everyone's perspective is what it is. And it's steeped in some version of reality. And my reality as a kid, I never got what I wanted. But as I got older, I began to, you know, say, you know, I had a good time playing with those toys that I got. And I want to make sure, let's start from the record. Folks that are giving kids gifts right now, and if the gift you're giving a kid is some clothes wrapped in Christmas paper and a put in a box, that ain't Christmas gifts. Come on now. I don't know of any kid that is going to ask you for some clothes, some jeans, some socks, some underwear. So if you're going to give a gift, I know it's the thought that counts. And I'm just being serious. If you're going to waste your time and wrap that, why even spend the money and waste good wrapping paper on that? The kids don't want the clothes. You can't put the clothes in the PS4 or the Xbox or anything like that. You can't play Fortnite with the clothes. You might be able to play Fortnite in the clothes. But the kids don't want that. Now, unless you're buying clothes or outfits skins for their favorite character, then yeah, they'll probably be excited about that. But they don't buy outfits, socks. And I promise you, if you've got something in mind that the kids need to have because they need it to wear, and you're going to buy it for them at this season, just give it to them. Don't waste your time wrapping, because you're going to, the face you're looking for, that, ooh, thank you, Grandma, thank you, Auntie, oh, thank you, Mom, Dad, they're not going to give it to you. They're going to give you that, oh, yeah. You're listening to The Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
And welcome back to The Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we're talking about, you know, Christmas. And again, this is a Christmas Day episode, and I'm very excited and very thankful to be on air and on Christmas Day. Never done this before. Never done a show on Christmas Day. And the blessing this year, first time, the Lord's literally blessing in this manner, I'll be also on air on New Year's Day. Being able to bring a teaching for something new. All things are made new. And we're going to, That'll be the topic next week. So I should write that down. I need to write it down so I can remember it as I'm doing the study for it and prepping for it. I'll know what the title is and where to come from. But the Lord just gave that now. So it's all things made new. So we're talking about Christmas. And the topic of today's show is All I Want for Christmas. And in the first segment, after giving the thank yous and shout outs to the WKBY staff and family and Bishop Campbell, Pastor Larry, and the rest of the team out there, I talked about Christmas, and as a child, making my list, I sit back still and I reflect on times from my childhood. And I think about what we did, and I remember the mountains and mountains of torn wrapping paper all over the floor. And I remember my dad would always bring out a plastic bag, trash bag. He would never move fast enough for me because I couldn't open any gifts until he'd get out of bed. And, you know, and I know my parents were always tired from the night before because they would wait till we went to bed and try to wrap gifts. And you could hear the wrapping paper rustling and crinkling. And I don't know if they ever knew that. I imagine they did know that, especially as we got older, because there was the mystique of there being Santa Claus was gone. We knew there was no Santa Claus after a certain point. And I don't really know when I knew as a kid that there was no longer a Santa Claus, but I just recall making my Christmas list for Santa Claus. And then at some point when I heard the wrapping paper, you know, crinkling and rustling as my parents were wrapping the gifts that eventually showed up under the tree, I even remember hearing people walk by my room in the dark. Because I remember as a kid, see, there was a point where my bedroom door was closed. Excuse me. My dad or mom would come in, they would close my bedroom door. So in an effort so you don't see them or maybe not hear them as they're wrapping gifts. I know they tried to keep the whole mystique and the fun and the quiet of their wrapping process and their preparation process. They worked hard. They tried to provide. I know there was a lot of gifts to give. There were three of us, my brother, my sister, and I. And each one of us, I remember watching the gifts that they got. And from earliest times of me being able to remember Christmases, I remember there were some really good gifts that were given. Again, like I said in the first segment, they weren't the gifts that I said I wanted specifically. They were a knockoff for me. So it was some replica, some, you know, Jenny Flake version of a Frosted Flake. Or some cat tricks or catnip version of tricks. I'm sure, like, if those of you shop at your favorite, you know, big box store, there are the name brands out there. But then there's the other stores that we go to where it's more affordable, or maybe even sometimes sitting next to the famous big box brand is a knockoff. It's a small box, bag, toy. That's what I got. I got that version. But I'm thankful. So as I'm buying for my kids things throughout the year, I don't buy much for them anymore at Christmas time. They're getting way too big, way too old. And the stuff they want costs way too much. And I tell my kids, look, we are, when the Lord blesses us to be able to buy things throughout the year, that's Christmas every day. I don't spend a lot of time anymore buying things and putting them in a box and wrapping. Largely that came from, you know, after their mom passed away, we started changing things. When their mom was alive, I remember she and I went to debt a lot, trying to manufacture money, print money, make up money. It's not a fraudulent thing. We're not trying to say we embezzled or tried to fraudulently forge documents or whatever. I'm talking about, you know, two or three jobs for myself, a couple of extra odd jobs, trying to find the money to bring home to have Christmas. We were raising five young men. And as parents, we wanted to have a Christmas at a certain level. We'd have certain expectation for ourselves, certain great expectation of what we wanted to do as parents. We didn't want the kids to think a certain kind of way. We want everyone to have a gift, whether it be great or small, and something in their stocking. And as a kid, I know I'm jumping back and forth with this, but I want to make sure I share with you thoughts from me, thoughts about Christmas that made Christmas bright, because I know a lot of us are doing it ourselves right now. We're open gifts. We spend a lot of time happy or sad on Christmas, and we are going back in our mind remembering what our Christmases past are. I mean, if you're I'm not saying I'm Ebenezer Scrooge by any stretch, because I don't want anyone to be an Ebenezer Scrooge. I've had years where I've been Scrooge. I'm not saying I was the one that was visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, but during Christmas holiday seasons, that's actually what happens in our mind when the enemy wants to come and talk to us and make us think some kind of way about the negative parts of our past. Even the negative parts of our current. He wants us to believe in the negative parts of even our future. But what the Lord wants us to also be remembered and do with us and for us when the Holy Spirit visits us and brings back those memories of your Christmas past, the happy times, the current times of what's going on, and even the future hope that you have, that's what we're talking about here. So I'm just speaking. I'm saying the things that you want to say or you're thinking already. And sometimes our minds are all over the place and we're talking about our pasts and memories we're having. So at Christmas time, this day that you're listening to this show, wherever you're listening to it, whether it be online or on WKBY, 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia, however you're listening to it, it's not an accident. You're listening to this program on a moment thinking about Christmas, thinking in images and thoughts and memories of your own personal Christmases gone by, are coming to mind of what you thought and what you did. I remember as a kid getting a gift and being frustrated because it wasn't what I really wanted or what I thought I really wanted, but I was happy for it. Anyway, we played, we had a good time. I remember always telling my friends, and, hey, I got this as a gift, and I wanted to always be the first to tell them what I got. And I needed to listen to what they got and try not to be jealous because they got something I didn't get. I mean, and that was going to always happen because the kids, of course, are different. We're all different as people. We're going to get different things. We're going to want different things. Years went by and I became a parent. And even before then, when I was in college, I didn't want anything really for Christmas because I had got to a point where I understood the magnitude of life and money and how much things cost. I began to understand and get a feel for what things really meant. I think the first understanding of what life meant was when my mom died. I think that first Christmas, now when my mom passed, I was already an adult. So a lot of living had kind of gone by, but I had one of those stories where I didn't have a lot of loss and disappointment. I didn't have a lot of crazy things that happened before that. But when my mom died, it gave me a new feeling as to what value meant, loss meant. What a Christmas time celebration really would be moving forward. Later, my mother-in-law died, a few years later. I mean, my wife later died, and I really had a good sense then of what in the world this thing was all about. How short life was. How all the money that's spent as a country and in certain parts of the world, what people spend on Christmas and the commercialized nature of this, trying to make people understand that you love them because you spent a few dollars, in some cases $100, or he stole something to give to him and put him in a box. Or as a comedian friend of mine, Shell T, she says she just reboxes the toys from the kids that she took throughout the year because they were bad. So she gets to bring her Christmas philosophy down and Christmas spending down because she just reboxes the stuff she gave him. We were laughing. We saw her in her comedy special, So Many Hats, just over this past weekend. It was awesome because she would tell the story how she, you know, may have bought her kids a game system or whatever in December 25th, and sometimes she was taking it back from him on the 26th, so the same day, depending on if they got into trouble. So I'm just thinking back in my mind, man, I wonder how many of those gifts were gifts that I had gotten as a kid and got taken away. But anyway, I left. Go back. I digressed. I digressed so far. As a kid, so I started thinking about what I wanted. So as a kid, as an adult, I started thinking about what I wanted. And what I wanted as a kid and writing those lists, it says I never got what I wanted. And then as an adult, I started thinking about what I wanted. And when people were asking me, like my son's dad, what do you want for Christmas? Or my late wife would ask me, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I'd like to get you something. And my response as I got later in life, especially after my mom died, my mother-in-law died, and then my wife died, after those deaths, I started telling people I don't want anything for Christmas. I just wanted the time spent. I wanted to spend time well. I wanted to do better with myself. I wanted to find that gift that I couldn't put my finger on. See, when I'm buying the gift as a parent, I'm the one actually watching the bottom line. So now, being a single dad, single parent, I've got to be the one watching the pocketbook. When my late wife was alive, she watched the pocketbook. She watched the checkbook. She watched the account balance. And for me, I was the spender. So now, I'm not saying the girl couldn't spend. She could spend with the best of them. But I told her years before, when we were trying to figure out the roles of who was going to pay bills, and I was a little slower paying bills, so you know the credit score reflected my lack of attention to detail when it comes to bill paying. She wanted to make sure the bills were paid so she knew how much she had left to go spend. And I used to tell her, as long as you are okay with doing it and we have lights on and food, eat gas for the car, I really don't care what you spend the money on. We're good. Without her being here, there's no one to bounce those ideas off of. So as I go back now, the kids are asking me, Dad, what do you want? I'm quick to tell you, I don't want anything. But I had to pull back and be real transparent, real honest with this whole thing. I don't know what I want for Christmas. I didn't know. I really sat back, even in preparing for the showtime. I wanted to know what I really wanted for Christmas all those years, from the earliest of years back as a kid to this very moment right now. What did I want? It's easy for people to say, well, come on, man, let's not be so super spiritual. Let's not overthink it. You're a single dad. You got raising five boys or four in the house with you all day long, and you got to want something. Okay, yeah, I could use a vacation, but I can use that. I really could use a vacation that would be two types, right? I need a vacation with my kids so we can go away as a family because we can still have fun and real focused time together. But I also could use a vacation that's just me. Oh my gosh. With no obligations, I don't have to adult during that time. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But was it really what I wanted? Is it the gift that's really, really in the deep core of who I am? Then I started to think of, maybe having a one day of rest. Oh, Sabbath. When you have the Bible, puts the Sabbath in there is what we should build in. Six days you work and one day you rest. That's pretty interesting. I'd love to have a Sabbath day where I have a day where I can rest and not do anything. I need to build that in my schedule. That would be awesome. It'd be an awesome thing to have, not just at Christmas time. I'm talking about every week. You're listening to The Raising Men Show. The topic for today is All I Want for Christmas. Christmas Day. We're thinking about what we wanted for Christmas. We're looking back and laboring on wondering why I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. Some of us didn't get what we wanted for Christmas because we didn't ask for it. And we didn't ask for some of the things that we really wanted because we don't really know what it is. But we're going to talk about what the things that some of us really, really want when we come back from the break. Again, you're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we're talking about the topic of All I Want for Christmas. And in the last segment, we dealt with what have we been getting as gifts, and are we dissatisfied with the gifts that we're receiving? Are we really asking for the gifts that we want to receive? And at the core of it all, do we really know what we want for Christmas? I know I had shared that, you know, a Sabbath, but that's not a Christmas gift. I mean, that should be something we're supposed to take. I mean, that's biblical. That's core of who we are, you know, working 6 days, giving all that you can and work for 6 days, and then you should be able to not. We need to do better with that. We need to make sure we understand how important rest is to our bodies. So that can't be a Christmas gift. Okay, yeah, vacation would be nice. And in my case, I would like to have two vacations. I need to have a vacation or want to have a vacation with my kids. And I want a vacation without my kids. But I think most importantly, it came to me when I was preparing for the show. I said, I want me. I want me back. That's the gift that I want. But I don't want anybody to misunderstand. Because those of you who've been listening, you've heard my story. Yeah, lost my wife. Will be 6 years ago, February of 2019. I don't want the me that was the me when I was married. I don't want the me that was me before she died. I don't want the me that was me when I was a kid. I want the me that God wants me to be. I want the me that's the work in progress to be done. With all the painful pushing and prodding and rubbing off and of the rough edges that God's doing, all that shaping of with me being on the potter's wheel, with him molding and pushing and really making me feel uncomfortable and painful as I'm growing and into who he wants me to be. I want that process to be done. That means I've got to be paying attention. I want that growing and molding process to be over, because it's painful and it's frustrating and it takes a long time. Also, I want to be able to do for God what he wants me to do at the level of what he wants me to do. I want to be responsive to him. I want to be courageous. I want to be strong. I don't want to be down. I don't want to be, I know you can't be up all the time, but I want to be the one doing what I'm supposed to do for God when God asks me to do it. I want that guy. I want to be that patient parent. I want to be the one that's living as an example. I don't want to be the one anymore that's, you've got to keep coaxing and prying. I don't want that guy anymore. I want to be better. So how do you do that? Means I have to work and give everything to God and move when he says move. As a parent or caregiver, and I know it's odd because when you hear parent, you automatically understand, you're a parent, it means you have at least one kid. When you hear caregiver, and that's a fancy new term that was coined or defined for people who take care of a sick or aging spouse or a sick or aging parent who can't take care of themselves, and you're providing an in-home care solution for them. It's a fancy term given to a babysitter. They don't want to say babysitter. You don't babysit your spouse or your parent, but you provide care for them. You're responsible for their well-being. So parents, you are caregivers as well. And if you are, in my case, I was a parent and a caregiver because I was taking care of my wife, who was sick. So for that short stretch, and then after she died, the caregiving side of me, the husbandry side, was gone. So there's a part of me that doesn't have anything to give care to. So I say that when I say what I want me back, I want that side of me that has the requirement that needs to pour out and give out and give out and give out of everything that I am till there's nothing left to give. I want that part to go away. I understand having a servant heart is one thing. I get it. But I want the part of me that hears the voice of the Lord and say, that's enough. That you need to give to yourself. You need to care for yourself now. As caregivers, we can definitely do so much where we give everything we have away. If breathing was not an automatic part of our life, as a caregiver, we would give our breath away to the person who needed it, to the person we're caring for. If our heart beating wasn't automatic, as a caregiver, we would be tempted to give away our beating hearts or our future number of heartbeats to someone whose heart is broken or someone's heart is in trouble or isn't well. If we as a caregiver could, we would give ourself away in some cases in replacement for the healing and well-being of the person that we're caring for. That's exhausting. Mentally, physically, spiritually. As you're thinking about opening a present, as a caregiver, most times we don't open presents. If you're anything like me, I remember years ago, as I watched the kids open presents, they would want to. When my wife was alive, the kids would bring me a box or she would hand me a box and they would want me to open it and I wouldn't want to open it. I would want to watch them and get the joy. I got the greatest joy and pleasure off of watching their expressions and hearing their laughter and the squeals because they got what they wanted. Some toy. I remember there was one Christmas we had after my wife died. We didn't have any money. We didn't have anything to give the kids. But at that moment, I remember asking the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do? We don't have anything. I don't have any money to give. We're broke. I don't know what to do. Now, granted, yeah, I had a full-time job working, but medical bills, life, just there was nothing left to give. And I think in some cases, there was even a year where we had something, but inside there was nothing left to give. Because I had reached a point in caregiving when I had given everything out, and then I realized that I wasn't giving care for myself. So even having to give, there was nothing to give. That was tough. So when I want to open a box for Christmas, I want to open a box that may be poorly wrapped or phenomenally wrapped, like if it was wrapped at a big department store. Inside, to this point in my life, there's been nothing in there that I really, really wanted. Leading up to this point, some of my youngest one, as a matter of fact, Jackson, he's actually made a couple of gifts for me for class. Really cool gifts, you know. He's very excited to give it to me. He says, Dad, you can open it. You can open it now or you can wait for Christmas. And I thought, you know what? I'd rather open it now in front of him. And I remember making a big to-do about what he took time to make for me or a card he took time to create for me. Or I remember he also, this year, he asked for some money so he could go to the holiday fair at his school. And he decided to buy me a coffee mug. Says Dad on it. It's got a Batman symbol. And I find that to be interesting in itself. Well, let's not digress. Let's stick on topic. I made sure I gave him a big hug and thanked him for the thought. Because he knew that I wasn't going to buy anything for myself. And since their mom died, they know that I don't open gifts because I'm not buying myself a gift. And as kids, they're not buying any gifts either because they're not using my debit card or whatever, or my card to buy something for me. They're wanting stuff for themselves. And that's no disrespect. That's just the way kids are. It's the way people are. We so often want things for us, and for a caregiver, it's tough because we're so used to giving. I went through a season, or I'm going through, coming out of a season where it's becoming all right to care for me. I've got to care for me because if I don't care for me, caregivers, if you don't care for yourselves, you're not going to be able to provide an adequate level of care for the person you're caring for. And I know if you're caring for an adult or an aging adult, sickly adult, and you're their child or friend or relative, however that works out, it can be tough. It can be exhausting. So I just pray extra blessing of peace and restoration upon you for those times. If it's a spouse, it's tough to watch the person you love just wither away and can't do what they want to do and can't be the person that you married. It's tough. So in asking for the me, the want, for asking God to give me that he wants me to be, it's a tough ask for me to even bring to the table. Because for one, just being able to say and realize that I want something is tough for me. I'm so used to being a person that fulfills the dreams of other people. That's always a great excitement for me. If someone brings an idea to me to help them with or just sharing, I get excited for them because I want to stand in the gap for them and pray for them and with them so that they can get all that they want to get. But for me, for so many years as a caregiver, I can backseat myself. But the Lord is reminding me that I've been backseated for long enough. And it's no disrespect to anyone I've helped or will not help as much, because I've got to set some healthier boundaries. And I'm not saying I'm arrogant that I want to start taking care. It's all about me now. It's all about me and, you know, fans and likes and followers. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God's got a plan for me that has everything to do with me becoming the me he's created me to be. And if I'm continuously backseating myself as caregivers, if you're continually backseating yourself, then you're never going to become the me that you're supposed to be, the you that you're supposed to be. So that's the point of this whole thing. We're supposed to be who God created us to be. So at this Christmas season, I want you, this last segment we're coming into, we're going to speak a lot about what should be and what we want to find in our boxes when we open up a gift from God, who's the gift of us. You're listening to The Raising Men Show. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Merry Christmas. And we'll be right back for our last segment. We're going to put some tools together to make this happen.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the last segment of The Raising Men Show. And I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And we're talking about today's topic is All I Want for Christmas. The last segment we just dealt with, what we really wanted. And as a caregivers, parents, you name it, whoever you're taking care of, we have a tendency as caregivers to give out everything we are. Single parents especially, there's not another person normally spending any time, any thought about what we want, what we need, giving us a gift, spending some time to wrap it ever so, whether it's sloppily wrapped or professionally wrapped. As a caregiver, there's so, especially if you're doing it by yourself, it's so easy for us to get lost. And I need you to understand that we're not talking about a caregiver once and for all rising to the top and being the center of attention. No, that's not it at all. What I'm saying is this, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to give ourselves those personal refreshing times. We need to give ourselves the moments to know that it's okay to step back and spend some time for us, that for take some moments to spend before God, restoring, renewing our minds daily. Spend some moments getting a nap, spending some moments getting some rest, some legitimate sleep that's longer than an hour or two at a time. spending some time creating some healthy boundaries between either the person that we're caring for or just other people. Because, and it's no disrespect, I'm sure the person we're caring for doesn't require the level of care that we're providing. A lot of times as a caregiver, we go overboard. We spend a whole lot of time doing way too much. We need to scale it back. We need to spend, if we spend probably half of the time caring for ourselves, maybe not even half. If we spent 10% of the time caring for ourselves that we do caring for someone else, you know how much more healthy we would be? How much more rested we would be? Okay, let's even make it real because we're on a, you know, it's a Christian show. How much closer to God we would even be? As a caregiver, we first need to give time to God, spend our first fruits seeking Him, getting that mental and spiritual refreshing and direction for the day. We need to be able to understand, God, what's the plan that you have for us in our life for today? What's going on that you would have us to do? What's the plan? I know what I have to do today. Lord, you know what needs to happen. I've got to feed, clothe, provide. I've got to do these things. I've got a million and one different things to do today in my plan. But God, I need to know, what order do you want me to do? What steps are we taking today? Are you leading me to take today to get to the end of where I need to be today and be okay with it? What level of care, God, do you want me to provide for my children or for my loved one or whoever I'm taking care of today? Lord, what is the plan that you have for me today? Those are the things as a caregiver, it then takes the hands and the chains off of you that you think sometimes that you're shackled to the person or people that you're caring for. So I know for me, when I get frustrated, I get upset about how tired I am or the lot I have in life and the mouths I have to feed and the clothes and provide shoes and underwear for, it gets frustrating. I mean, case in point, I was just in a store. Now, to be real, I was just in Walmart. Yeah, I was one of those Walmart people. And I wasn't one of those Walmart people that you see on social media pictures looking all funny, dressed funny. I wasn't flashy. I don't dress flashy. I'm a dad with 5 kids, 4 I'm taking care of. Trust me, I do want to get some flow back and some better looking clothes and go out, but I'm not shabbily dressed. I was matching. I was clean. I did smell good, but I was in the store buying underwear for 4 kids. And I sat there, you know, going through each size, make sure so let's make sure we understand. 2 of the kids I have could probably wear the same size exact. My 2 youngest ones, pretty close. Length of pants, different by a little bit, but underwear size, sock size, same. So when I'm buying stuff for them, they're almost like twins where they want to have their own stuff, and that's wonderful. So I'm sitting in the aisle trying to figure out what set of socks in multiple packs and what colors can I get for one child versus what pack of stuff I'm going to get for the other child, because I want them to make sure when they wash they don't get them crisscrossed. I don't want to just get in the same as they deal with it, because then it becomes, you know, issue then of one kid taking more than the other. I don't want any infighting. So I sat there frustrated because I'm really doing this. I'm really sitting here trying to figure out an underwear difference at a price point that makes sense and a package volume that makes everything equal for some kids. And I'm the dad. So guys, if you're out there, you're taking care of your kids, you got to get over it. It's just stuff you got to do. Caregivers, it's just stuff out that we have got to do. But at the same time, the Lord allowed me to flip the mentality and change my perspective. It wasn't a matter of anymore was I being frustrated because I was out there buying clothes for the kids and I was shopping by myself. So that became a breath of fresh air. I had moments away during my chores to breathe. No one was asking me, Dad, can I have some popcorn? Dad, can I have some of this? Dad, can I have some of that? I had a lot of time to myself to breathe. It was quiet. It was just me in the store. Yeah, the store was full. It wasn't the holiday crush, but it was a lot of folks in the store, but it didn't bother me. To me, it was quiet. So as caregivers, we have to give ourselves a break and understand that there are certain times when our chores are never going to stop. And we just got to accept it. Laundry's got to be done. Food's got to be made. They've got to be fed. If you're washing a caregiver and providing that, you know, that cleaning of the private parts after they go to the bathroom, sorry, you got to do it. Because if you don't do it, bad things are going to happen. You know, urinary tract infections being one, different types of sores or another, and we don't want that to happen. I'm not washing my kids' backsides. You could squash that idea. I'm just saying, I'm making sure that they're in the shower washing, their fire pits are done and have deodorant on them, their clothes are ironed. Those tasks don't stop for me. Even if I took a vacation today, tomorrow, for a day, 2 months, a year, they don't stop. Someone's got to make sure that those are happening. So as caregivers, we have to understand that there's certain things that are going to go on anyway, but we've got to be able to take those breaths to understand that I can recharge here. I can recharge from this window to this window. Maybe I'm recharging when I'm at this grocery store. Maybe I'm looking differently at my life when I'm out shopping or when I'm out driving, even the caregiver, the person we're caring for, from appointment to appointment. Maybe while they're sitting with the doctor, it's a point where I can breathe, I can read a book, I can read the word, I can recite some scripture. The part of what I want to remember for me is I want that faith, that excitement, I want that drive in my life to serve God with all that I have. That's one of the things I want for Christmas. That's one of the things I want from for a caregiver, because I've seen caregivers come in pushing their spouse or their family member in a wheelchair. And the face is pretty much universal in a lot of cases. It's that, oh my God, I'm so doggone tired. This wheelchair is so heavy. I see the faces of a parent who's caring for a child with a severe medical need, pushing this big fancy wheelchair. A lot of times the child is, we're not even sure if the child really understands if they're there or not. Faces on those parents are like, how many more years, God? How many more days, God? I'm saying what they're thinking, because I can do that. I need the caregivers to understand and know that there's hope for us. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. I don't want anyone to give up. I've had moments when I wanted to give up. I can't. You know, one thing that actually helped me so much when I get those moments when I want to give up, I've seen the movie Facing the Giants by Sherwood Pictures. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie or not, but if you have not seen Facing the Giants by Sherwood Pictures, I would encourage you all to do it. It is a caregiver's must see. So we're going to set up what this is. Facing the Giants is just a movie that's really based around a football coach. And I do believe he's a new football coach who's picked up a team of misfits and squirrely kids. It appears to be a kind of a Southerner-esque, Midwestern kind of a sleepy little town, probably forgotten place in the U.S., forgotten city, USA. It's not important where it is. It could be in any city. It could be in our homes. Because the point of it all is this coach. The coach really represents us. No, I'm sorry. The coach represents someone that we want in our lives, that we want to push us, that we want and we need to encourage us. We are a coach to other people. So yes, we're a coach to our kids. We're a coach to other people, other caregivers. So today, my role is that coach. The scene is set with this football coach is at practice. The team isn't winning. The team isn't doing well. It's a time, if it's preseason, it's prep. It's, you got a bunch of guys who are not achieving. Hard to deal with, hard to coach, because they're not listening. And the ringleader of them all is this one guy. This one offensive lineman. He was the biggest kid, strongest kid he had, the most potential, and the whole team rallied behind him. Most cases, that's us. The strongest one in the room, because we're the one pushing the strollers, pushing the wheelchairs. The coach calls out that player and said, look, I want you to, you know, do this drill. It's called a death crawl. So it's using your hands and just your toes, not, you know, no knees on the ground. And you're using all fours to crawl from the end zone all the way to some other point where they want you to stop. And in this scene, the coach asks, you know, makes the young man think that he wants to do this 50-yard death crawl, but with a teammate on his back. And the guy was like, yeah, I can do this four-legged death crawl from end zone to 30-yard line, or maybe end zone to 50-yard line by myself. That's easy. But with someone on my back, whatever. The coach then blindfolds the player. And he says, whatever you do, I don't care if you stop, but you got to give me all you've got. You got to give me everything you've got. So as this player is now on all fours, with another 160-pound player on his back. This coach is just encouraging him. He's encouraging him. He's yelling at him as he's going down the field. And it got to the player got to the 30. He got to the 50. He got a little bit farther. This is yards. This is not feet. The football player that was carrying the play, he was just tired. He wanted to stop. He was telling his coach, "It hurts. It hurts. My arms hurt." Caregivers, there's more than enough days when our arms hurt, when our backs hurt, when our hearts hurt, when our minds hurt so much that we don't know what we want to do, what we can do. We don't think we can go another step. We don't think we can take another breath. But yet we need that coach out there, that Holy Spirit, that friend, that fam, the friend, the God with flesh on to encourage us. Don't stop. I'm your coach today. Don't stop, caregivers. You've got to keep going. Today is a very important day for you. This is not just a Christmas day. It's a day that you've got. It's a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, that you can go farther than you ever thought you could go before. You can breathe. You can make it through another day. Not just you existed to make it to Christmas, but you made it to another day that the Lord has given you. You got another breath in you. You're moving. You got activity of your limbs, and you can't give up. You've got to keep going, because you're going to win. The prize before you is great. The prize with you right now is outstanding, and the great cloud of witnesses is already around you, cheering you on. Can you hear it? They're cheering. I can.
It's been a long time.
Reach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM. And WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.